Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance. But if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. We're here to continue our expectations series today, and we're going to talk about a couple of players. Devin Leary, a sixth-round draft pick at quarterback, and Roquan Smith, the well-known inside linebacker. I don't think we need to say much more about him, but Brandon Croxton is here to talk about it. Brandon, how you doing?
Hey, Ken. I'm doing good. Love doing these, and it's a very fun segment, so I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, appreciate that. I have a ton of fun doing this, and you know, we have 29 shows this year, and it's 29 different people. Didn't have any problem finding people to do it. Everybody was excited about it, and so this seems to be one of the fun things that people we get between about the mini camp period and the beginning of camp. This is one of the big things to talk about, is our expectations for these players.
Yeah, absolutely.
How about we start with Devin Leary, since he's the undercard to this pairing for certain. Drafted in round six, number 218 out of Kentucky. A 6'1", 215 guy, really made a name for himself at NC State, where he played very well for 4 years, 62 touchdowns and 16 interceptions. Then moved on to the SEC in 2023. Didn't have his best year, 88.7 passer rating, 25-12 on the touchdowns, interceptions. What were your first impressions of the pick when it happened?
Yeah, I would say, you know, it's interesting in that he'll be 25 at the start of the season, so he's definitely on the older side. He's definitely somebody I think probably could have been an undrafted free agent, but obviously I'm guessing that the Ravens see something in him that that's a positive, that they think is worth a 6-round pick. You know, like there's some upside and some downside to him. His 2021 season was an excellent season. He had 35 touchdowns and just 5 interceptions. And, you know, he did this, led NC State to a 9-3 record, which is very good for NC State. And, you know, he did this without having an NFL wide receiver or tight end on the roster that year as well. So, that's something that's, looking forward to. You don't have, like a cheat code, like a Marvin Harrison Jr. on your team that's just out there dominating and he's just getting the ball to him. He's kind of making a lot of plays on his own to have such a great season. I think it's interesting that he was drafted. He probably somebody that you could pick and, you could be a priority undrafted free agent, but maybe they feared somebody was going to take him maybe in the 7th round. So they just grabbed him then.
They had at least one pick in the 7th round this year. So it's a little funny that they didn't wait until round 7 to get him. I mean, Sanusi Kane was their 7th round pick, another guy who could have been had as a UDFA, I'm pretty sure. But the other thing, I mean, some of the draft pick value, this is really strange, but sometimes if you have priority UDFAs you want to sign, you can't set yourself up to have 3 or 4 of those because you won't have enough money for them. So those guys, and Keaton Mitchell was a good example last year, but there have been others in other years who are highly touted around the league. And so they have 3 or 4 suitors at the max dollar amount they can pay a UDFA. And so maybe not 3 or 4, but they have more than one suitor that would pay them that money. So you can't have 3 guys you're competing on, and you'd spend more than the total amount in your pool to do so. So I've always heard about this, the way the process works and the way they've got, 20 different guys on phones talking to the people that they scouted or the people that they have the closest handler relationship with. And it's very much $1,000 at a time kind of business, which doesn't seem like those chips are all that important, but they are when that's all you have to play with. And every team's working with a restricted amount.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And, I think it's interesting, how, he is kind of, very different from the backup quarterbacks from Lamar in the past. Like, we've had Tyler Huntley the last 4 years. They drafted Trace McSorley a few years ago. Those two are mobile quarterbacks, can do not as well as Lamar, but can move around and kind of do some things that are similar to the skill set that Lamar brings. Leary and Johnson are both straight pocket passers. They're not, he's not a statue in there, but he's not going to be somebody that's going to run around, make plays off script, or kind of run an RPO or a run option to, make plays with his feet.
He scrambled only 9 times this last season. So he's the pocket passer in the strictest sense. That's like a Joe Flacco number in terms of a very low number. He's not a big guy either at only 6'1", 215. And one of the problems that he had in Kentucky was he led all of college football in batted passes with 17. That's 4.6% of his throws were batted down at the line of scrimmage. Yeah, that's a big cut.
Rough. Yeah, that's rough. Yeah.
There were only 8 other QBs in the entire FC. I always get that wrong, so I'm not even going to try. In college football, who had 10 or more batted passes.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But I think, it also kind of signals probably an evolution of the offense in general under Monken. Last year, Lamar actually had the fewest design runs of his career, minus the 21 season where he missed 6 games. But, he had the fewest design runs and the fewest yards off of those runs in his career. So we might be seeing kind of an evolution of more of a kind of straight back passing game, passing attack, as opposed to a lot of run option, a lot of using Lamar as as a runner, instead letting him kind of be more of a passer and scramble, break, make plays with his feet, you know, getting out of the pocket and, you know, still looking for a receiver downfield or scrambling then, but fewer design runs. And that's probably, you know, maybe that's something that we're seeing with Leary and Johnson, because I mean, Tyler Huntley signed with the Browns, but he signed for barely the vet minimum, and mm-hmm. they literally have four veteran quarterbacks out there now. So he's may not even be guaranteed a roster spot with them.
Right.
You know, so I think Huntley could have been had for, you know, pretty much the same deal. It was $1.2 million for a year, but the Ravens kind of made an affirmative choice not to bring him back.
Yeah, that's a good point. And it's not a long-term deal when you're signing a 37-year-old or whatever Johnson is now to do that. Whereas Huntley, you could have maybe had a couple more years. It's a clear sign that they're done with Huntley. I mean, to me, it is that he had limitations that they just couldn't live with and whatnot. And we may not know what all of those are from the Ravens' perspective. We can kind of see some of them on the field in terms of being a linear runner and more of a speed guy. We can see some of the way the offense had to be schemed to get the ball out of his hand quickly from pocket awareness. But something tells me that might not be all of them. That might just be a part of it in terms of things that were not great. Anyway, let's get back to Leary for a second, because I don't want to just bash Huntley. That's not necessary. I think it's possibly, by the way, even Huntley could be back on the Ravens practice squad this year. That it's this is a reasonable home for him as any, and you know, it's a way to extend your NFL career. The other thing about Leary, he obviously played in his bowl game last year, which I thought was a good thing. He probably had something to prove. Played very well against Clemson in a game where he gave them two fourth quarter leads at 28-27, then again at 35-30. The Kentucky defense couldn't hang on. Kentucky always kind of in a difficult spot in the SEC. They're not in the top tier of that league, and yet they seem to have been pretty good in recent years at staying in the middle of the league. Which, by the way, if you can be 7-6 with your schedule being primarily in the SEC, which is what Kentucky did this last year, that's pretty freaking amazing.
Yeah, you're a pretty good team. I remember kind of watching that game. Leary didn't really stand out to me. He made a couple of nice plays, but mm-hmm. the running back Davis really kind of showed something to me that game. And I remember him, he was in the back of my mind come draft day. I was hoping the Ravens would get him in the mid rounds, but yeah. Kentucky's a tough place to compete. So he definitely has some battle scars playing in the SEC.
All right. Now with Leary, and we talked about the undrafted and some of the reasons why they might have used a draft pick on Leary, but they really did give up on a player who could have really helped them, I think, in terms of what they're doing. The guy that I wanted at 218 was Trey Taylor of Air Force, who ended up being drafted 223 by the Raiders. He actually won the Jim Thorpe Award, which is, I think, given to the best defensive back each year. He won it over Cooper DeJean. That is a pretty, not really well known in terms of the available safeties out there. But when you're looking for the specific traits you want, good instincts, not necessarily the top end speed, he'd be a guy who would be kind of ideal, I would think, to play the back end and allow the flexibility to Hamilton to be up or back by play.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, maybe we'll kind of talk about this a little bit more. Maybe they see Leary as, you know, he definitely has a roster spot as a third mm-hmm. quarterback, and maybe, you know, Taylor would be kind of competing, you know, with Worley and, you know, who's potentially coming back, or, you know, any other safeties that might still be out there that they sign over, you know, the next month or so. Leading into camp, that makes it a little bit harder. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's move on. It's he's the undercard after all. What's a good season for Devin Leary?
Yeah. I had number one is make the team as the third cornerback. I think it's very likely, you know, but I wouldn't put it as 100% he's going to be on the roster. They did bring in another UDFA and Emory Jones to compete with them as quarterback. So, number one would be making the roster, and Kind of going from there, you want to establish himself as a front runner to be the second quarterback in a competition heading into next year.
Okay. Very similar. And I got two things. A couple of them are we won't even know if he's got this, but I'll just read it. Has a solid preseason in camp, earns the QB3 role. That's a match with you. Sees no more than a handful of regular season snaps. That would be a big positive if he didn't see a lot of time this regular season. Builds rapport with some receivers who will still be around in 2025. I actually think that helped Lamar to be throwing a lot to players like Mark Andrews back when he was a rookie. That that was a positive thing where Boyle and other tight ends were getting snaps with Flacco at that point. Learns and hones positional skills prior to 25. So again, we won't really know. It could be like a Lamar situation. He comes to camp, all of a sudden his mechanics are improved, or he's making a lot of throws, and we're saying, wow, this guy had that kind of arm. I didn't know. If that happens prior to 25, I think it's a good 24 for him. But you know, pick up what you can, a few little rapport components. You probably make the roster as QB3. You hold a clipboard this season. You stay very focused on learning the NFL game, and I think that's a good year.
Yeah. And, you know, and hopefully, you know, he's here with Tavian Robinson, who's a UDFA. So that's his teammate. So maybe we'll have some buzz talking about in the preseason. Leary to Robinson is a nice 1-2 combination. But hopefully we don't see either one of those at all come week one.
Good point. So either one has the potential to be a camp darling based on their play. But you're right. As a team, they might be better. How about a great season? What's a great season for Leary?
Yeah, I would say show enough in the preseason and in practice to be the unquestioned second quarterback in 25. So at some point, kind of beat Josh Johnson out as the second quarterback, maybe possibly during the season, or you have a, you know, or just show that you're definitely going to be the number two guy going into next season. Because Josh Johnson's up there in age, he's 38 now. You know, he's at the end of his career. It's a year by year. So having somebody who's younger that can be a cheap option, kind of similar to like Tyrod Taylor was as the second quarterback, as the backup here, you know, can be extremely valuable to the team.
All right, that's very good. I'll just say outstanding practice in preseason has him assume the QB2 role by midseason. There's nothing in my way of thinking that has Josh Johnson locked into that role for the whole year. Josh Johnson can be, you know, emergency QB3 at any point this year if Leary is really the guy they want to use second in a game. But they do have to decide on a week-by-week basis how they're doing that. I'll say plays a limited number of snaps in mop-up duty. He could also get a trial by fire in the top 20%. That wouldn't be a good thing for the Baltimore Ravens, obviously, but it could be a good thing for him. His change of pace provides intrigue. It proves intriguing to coaches, and the Ravens scrapped their longtime trend of having a stylistic match for Jackson. You said a lot about that earlier. I don't need to go further. The Ravens like him enough not to draft another QB in either 2025 or 26.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Yep. Absolutely.
All right. Let's move on. Talk about Roquan Smith then. Do we have anything to say about Roquan Smith?
Oh, gee. You know, he's only my second favorite player behind Lamar Jackson here. So, yes, I was very excited to talk about Roquan. So,
you didn't pick this pairing to talk about Leary? Leary?
That was just the icing on top right there.
Very good.
Kevin Leary. Yeah. So Roquan Smith, we traded for him in the 2022 season, and he played 9 games in 22, and he pretty much instantly made the defense the best defense in the league that year, and that even carried over to 2023. I'm generally not a fan of trading big time picks and paying a player. You know, like the second round is definitely the highest I would go. I would very, very rarely go a first round pick and pay a player a big time contract. But I mean, Roquan has just been absolutely worth it as far as what he's brought on the field and as a leader, as the team, taking over the green dot. In those eight games before he got here in 2022, the defense was really plagued by a lot of miscommunication errors, and just big plays going all over the place. I mean, you think back to the Miami game where we could barely even get lined up correctly, or even that New England game where people were just running wild in our backfield. And when we traded for them, like literally all of that stopped. The big plays were halted. The miscommunications were absolutely just taken away. And, that can almost directly be attributed to, Roquan's arrival. So, he's been a first team all pro these last 2 years, and he's just been an awesome player.
I have really appreciated the similarity between the Ravens and Orioles in terms of picking up scrap heap players in the Elias era and the DaCosta era as well. I mean, the DaCosta era, first of all, coming in 2019 in his first year as a GM, the Ravens had a great freaking football team, but they had a defense they needed to fix on the fly. And the Marcus Peters trade was just part of it, but we'll come back to that in a second. I mean, they got two inside linebackers. They got two nose tackles they brought in. They really put together that defense on the fly to fix what was very much a flailing unit through four games in terms of what they'd done. And, Josh Bynes is a name that's often uttered on this show, along with LJ Fort. Ellis and Pekka were picked up on the defensive line. And of course, Marcus Peters was the crown jewel of the acquisitions there. It's getting back to the comparison of the Ravens and Orioles, though. Marcus Peters was a guy who was on the scrap heap at over nine yards per target with the Rams that season before he came. And then all of a sudden, by the end of that year, he's all pro one.
Yep.
So that was pretty spectacular. His first week, he has the big pick six against Seattle when Russell Wilson hadn't thrown an interception to that point.
Right.
I think that's right. I think he had thrown an interception. And it's very similar in terms of the Roquan pickup. Roquan was a very uneven performer in his times with the Bears. There were highs there. There were flashes there. There was a great player out of Georgia. There was a great pedigree with an eighth overall pick. But his performance had been very uneven. And I think basically, in particularly, some of the troubles he had as a run defender were problems with the defensive line not being stout enough to maintain offensive line blocks for longer. And he's done very well, worked extremely well with Jones, with Pierce, with the other interior defenders, Campbell and others who've been here for the time he has been, to work very well with those groups. And structure has been fantastic for Roquan here.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, another thing that I just love is he's really taken on the leadership role of a typical middle linebacker. He's kind of that heart and soul of the defense. He, gives the pregame hype speech. He wears the green dot. He's making all the calls. He's just been just a phenomenal leader here. Like, to give kind of like an 80s cartoon reference, he's the head with a Voltron right here. Like the
Voltron. That's after my time watching cartoons.
Sure. Yes.
It's, sadly, Fat Albert and Scooby-Doo were probably my era.
We was watching Scooby-Doo and Fat Albert too. I'm a little younger, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Voltron was, they had these mechanical robot lions, and they all formed to create Voltron, who was basically the unstoppable Godzilla type robot that could defeat any enemy out there. So yeah,
that seems sort of unfair.
Yes. Roquan is just he's the guy. He just brought it all together, and it was not just his play, which has been spectacular, that has created it, but the leadership and, the taking on the defenses and making it his own really has just allowed everybody on the team to flourish and make this the best defense in the league the last 2 years.
Yeah. Well, the Ravens have two emerging superstars on the defense. And I'm not going to include Matabike in this group, even though I think he's a very good player, or Owe, who I think is a very good player, or the corners, all of them who I think are good players, or Marcus Williams even. I mean, they obviously have a lot of good players, but the two great players they have are Roquan Smith and Kyle Hamilton. And if you look at them as the sword and the shield, no doubt about it, Kyle Hamilton is the sword. He is the offense of that defense, going and making plays wherever is needed. Roquan is the shield. He is filled in at whatever way is needed to maximize the value of this defense. And I want to get into some of that later, but we'll start with this. The first 3 weeks of the season, Roquan Smith rushed the quarterback 35 times. He only rushed the quarterback 70 times more in the remaining 15 games of the year. Yeah, 15 games that he played. Yeah. So they morphed his role to basically say, Patrick Queen is going to be short in the coverage elements of this. We trust you more in that regard. So we're going to use him more as a pass rusher, and we're going to use you more as a pass defender. And even though sometimes Roquan might be doing his things, A, less flashy, and B, might even be less his strength as a player, although he's a great coverage asset. He's doing something that's for the, because the team needs him to do that thing. Whereas Hamilton, you're putting him where you can make a play. You're lining him up where you can, and he does. He has some other ancillary benefits of, he takes away the strong side of the football field, which is a hell of a shield type thing to do. But he also rushes the quarterback. He drops the coverage. He'll does all sorts of things anyway.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Hamilton's, you know, he's that game wrecker when he's near the line of scrimmage. Wide receiver, he eliminates wide receiver screens, outside runs, everything like that is, he just eliminates. But, and, you know, Roquan is just that, you know, he's that missile that fires and just takes off to wherever the ball carrier goes, whether it's short pass, he's coming and he's, you know, he's filling gaps. Like, I think of, you know, that very first game against the Saints, it was a 3rd-and-1 and the Saints had it blocked and for Alvin Kamara to get a easy first down, and Roquan just came in and took off like a missile and stopped him dead right at the line of scrimmage for no gain. And they had to punt. And that plays like that, it's just a tackle. It's not a tackle for loss. It's not a sack or, you know, anything like that, but plays like that are just huge. Get your team off the field.
They do count them in one way, and that's stops. Okay, so defensive stops are the defensive wins by the old Football Outsiders definition, and PFF has them. I've been touting stops to missed tackles as kind of a strikeout to walk ratio for inside linebackers. It's also good for defensive linemen, but in particular, it's good for inside linebackers. He was at 54 stops, which is actually down some from previous years, and 13 missed tackles, which was still right along his career average for a 4.2 ratio. Not quite at the top of the league and not quite the highest he's been in his career. I think there's some reasons for that based on some compromises the Ravens were making in their run game, by the way, in run defense relative to pass defense, but still high up in the league. Bobby Wagner was around, he had a fantastic year. It was over 7 in stops to missed tackles. And Lavonte David also had a big year. He's over 6-1. But there aren't very many guys in the whole league who are over 4-1. And Roquan has consistently been that. He's had better years in the past because his career rate is 4.9. But it's very hard to find inside linebackers who make that many effective plays and miss as few tackles. And it's just a great combination to have.
Yeah, absolutely.
What I also want to talk about, I thought his usage of pass rusher dropped for multiple reasons. I kind of went into one, but the Ravens went to a lot of 4-man pass rush this last year, more than they've been doing in previous years. They kind of had a budget, it seemed like, for the number of 5-man rushes they want to use on a per game basis. So that's obviously eliminating places where Roquan is going to do, unless you're dropping. But one of the problems with dropping this year was that the real lack of a quality Sam linebacker to drop. So they ended up dropping interior guys and doing some things with that, but they didn't have the number of coverage drops they've had in past years when Tyus Bowser's been healthy.
Didn't you know it's possible to get THC shipped right to your door? Mood delivers premium 100% federally legal THC directly to you. I'm talking about delicious, high-potency gummies, top-shelf flower, home-baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary, you can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. And every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code RAVENS. So head to mood.com/ravens, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code RAVENS when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance. But if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and Watch or Tap, also on them.
Service plan required for Watch or Tap. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Or when they've had other guys like Matt Judon, say, who were really high-quality coverage assets they could drop from the outside linebacker position.
And Roquan's been great in pass coverage, too. He's covering tight ends, covering running backs out of the backfield. Not very rarely getting out of position when they throw it short. So, a lot of times it, like if it's 3rd and 5, 3rd and 6, an offense will throw it to a running back out, and make the running back make a guy miss and get that first down, or throw it to a tight end, something like that. I mean, Roquan, he takes great pursuit angles and will not very rarely gets juked to get, you know, for the running back to get that first down. He'll get that running back out of bounds, or he'll put him on the ground before he gets that first down. And I mean, yeah, like he's everything you want, I mean, in a linebacker. And I mean, he's, you know, him and Fred Warner are definitely the top two, and I would probably take Roquan every day.
All right. Definitely a great awareness, I've always found, of where the first down line is. Almost like he can see the yellow line on the field, and he's playing with it to try and make downhill stops and whatnot, not taking unnecessary chances on the angles, which is what you're talking about in terms of pursuit angles are good. If you know where the line is, you got a good chance to push the guy out of bounds. Of course, the line is also marked on the sideline. Maybe that's a bad analogy, but it's what it is.
No, but it's a lot of players that don't have that awareness all the time. So, yeah,
worst thing you can do as an inside linebacker making a downhill stop on a pass play is to put up your fist for fourth down when the guy's 2 yards behind or past the marker. That really looks stupid, just if you're understanding of what you're doing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's going to spend time with Trenton Simpson this year at weak side linebacker, and presumably also, or possibly also with a dime. But, you know, I personally feel like his fate is very closely tied to how well Simpson adapts to the NFL based on having Roquan as a partner. Now, fair and unfair, I've come to expect that after the way he basically shored up Queen's career and made him a very saleable commodity.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Like, I kind of expect, at least initially, that Simpson's going to get every opportunity to be a full-time three-down linebacker, as opposed to possibly going to dime on passing downs or something like that. Like, Zach Orr was, you know, that three-down linebacker when he was playing, and Simpson's going to get that same opportunity as Queen. I think Simpson, I really like, is a blitzer, like kind of very similar to Queen. You know, the role that Queen played the last 2 years with Roquan here is being the guy that shoots the gaps, blitzes, makes those, you know, sacks or, you know, tackles for losses in the backfield. And Roquan is just, like you said, that shield that if somebody does break through, he's still making that tackle for a 3 yard loss. So yeah. Simpson's got a great mentor and a great partner right next to him in Roquan.
Yeah. It'd be exciting to see how that develops this year. What else I want to talk about? We talked about his missed tackle rate, 6.7% was the second lowest of his career, but his stops are down a little bit. He's signed through 2027 now. For some reason, I thought he might have been signed through 2028, or the Ravens might have had an option to extend him by a year. I don't believe they did it. But there's no chance for him to be cut prior to 2026. So his 2025 salary is actually guaranteed. It's $15 million, I think. So he'll be here through 2025, no matter what. So we've got at least two more seasons to enjoy Roquan before he could possibly be cut. Any reason to fear with a player his age that his productivity may slip in a way that the Ravens would not like? Would not be happy with the last couple of years of that contract?
I mean, he's 27 right now, so these next 3 years, I would be surprised, barring an injury that really possibly slows him down. I would be surprised if we saw a significant drop in his actual production. And you know, I think with the leadership that he brings with the team, I think even if we do see a slight dip over the next couple of years, I mean, I think he probably brings, you know, added value as being that leader and being that guy that really knows the defense and gets everybody in the right position in order to make that play. So, yeah, like I would expect him to be here, you know, through the life of his contract. And I would assume that I would hope that the Ravens would probably try to keep him here for the rest of his career, you know, making, you know, another extension probably for less money, but, you know, something that keeps him here for the rest of his career. Cause he's one of those guys that Harbaugh says, you didn't know you were a Raven until you were a Raven. He's definitely a guy that's, you know, he's found his home as a Raven.
Well, we want him, you know, I guess the worst case scenario, I want him phoning the Ravens when he's ready to retire and say, I want to come back for a 1-day contract because I identify with being a Raven. That's actually the lesser thing. What I really want is I want him in the Ring of Honor. And I don't think he has to do more than play the current contract to get there, given the term of it. He'll have been here from, you know, for parts of six seasons, and that's long enough to do it. It would be a sure thing if he signed on for an extra 3 years and actually played those years in Baltimore and had, you know, 8-9 years with the team. But is they don't have a backup right now for him is kind of one of my concerns going into the season, is that there's not a player who I really think is an obvious choice to play that even a two down Mike role. And it wouldn't surprise me if they ended up having to go to the street for it.
Yeah, I think that's probably what they would do. Is there's always, you know, a stopgap middle linebacker that can fill in for a few games here or there that's out there on the street. I'm sure they have, you know, a list of three or four players that are out there that if need be, they could sign to the practice squad and, you know, activate them to the, you know, the game. But yeah. Like there's always that concern when Queen could have been that guy last year, and you would see kind of a dip in production probably on both positions, but
sure.
There's not that obvious guy that can replace Roquan, and you know, we would see, you know, a pretty significant drop in production there.
It is always one of the issues with a three down unicorn at inside linebacker is if you lose him, you have to replace him with multiple parts, or you really struggle with the total amount of production if you try and replace him with one player. The Ravens have been pretty good about doing it in the past, you know, with players like Bynes and Fort and getting players into that that Mike role who were good. Fort more of a will guy, but still could play the Mike on a passing down, say. But I wouldn't want Chris Board there. I don't think that's the solution for it. I don't even think Josh Ross is the right guy for it. He may or may not be around or on the practice squad or whatever, but I think it's more likely, like you said, that they'd end up going to the street and finding a guy.
Yeah. I'm sure there's that new Josh Bynes guy that's out there somewhere right now that they have ready on speed dial if anything were to ever happen.
Yeah. And you're probably right. They probably ought to have four of those guys. And it's, you know, it's not a difficult size and shape position to fill when you get right down to it. You want to replace your left tackle and you want 34 inch arms to do it. You got an uphill battle because there aren't very many of those guys who actually have feet that are attached to that 34 inch arms length. But if you want an inside linebacker or an athlete, I mean, there's a huge surplus of athletes who don't have the specific physical traits required of other positions at both middle linebacker and running back. I mean, there's just tons of them.
There's a lot there. Yeah. So. Mm-hmm.
All right. Now I wanted to read this cause I had four things that I hoped he could do in 2023 that would make him a player. When we did the show last year, it wasn't you and me, but but I said, one was take over the green dot. Check. On-field leadership of the front seven on the fly. Check. Mm-hmm. Continue with outstanding reads. Check. At least a slight improvement in coverage results would be ideal. And he actually did get that. Not everybody really probably knows this, but he had a cut in his yards per target that was good, down to 7.0 this last year from over 8 the previous year. He still, I thought, had a pretty good coverage year the previous year, but he had a really good coverage year this last year. And that was an improvement. So, you know, he couldn't have done any more to check the boxes for me as a player in 2023.
Yeah, absolutely. Like same here. Like I said, since he's come here, he's transformed this defense into the best in the league. And, you know, like people talk about, you know, how big of a loss Mike Macdonald is. And I mean, I'm not trying to discount him in any way, but the thing that took this defense to another level wasn't the hiring of Mike Macdonald. It was the acquisition of Roquan Smith. And that's the point at which we saw this defense become a great defense. And so, you know, with Zach Orr, who I think is very interesting hire, is very different from, you know, the traditional hires. Like they made Mike Macdonald go be defensive coordinator at Michigan because they wanted somebody to call plays. And now they hired Zach Orr, who's never called plays before. So it's a different new hire in something different from them. But I think the relationship that Orr and Roquan probably have is what's going to enable this defense to not really have a large dip, even though they've lost talent at the coaching positions with Macdonald and Denard Wilson, and all of the, you know, the players that we lost that, you know, I think, I don't think is as big a deal, especially with Wiggins, but, you know, obviously Clowney, I think, was probably the biggest loss that this defense will have, the way he played. But I don't think it's reasonable to have for this defense to be as good as last year, but it's going to be a top five defense again this year.
Okay. And I was just going to comment on exactly that, because they led the league in pretty much everything defensively this last season. We're going to see unquestionably some regression from this defense just because of the amount of quality players lost. But if they went into this season and they finished fourth or fifth in the league of defense, there's still going to be a lot of crazies out there saying, you know, you let Mike Macdonald go. You didn't make him a plan to be head coach, or you didn't make him head coach immediately and get rid of Harbaugh now, because we need to get rid of Harbaugh now. This is a case where, you know, yeah, it is ridiculous. Harbaugh has put together these coaching staffs over the year. If they succeed, they're going to go. That's the deal. I mean, you should want that for your coaches, because if you don't have it, you probably have a stagnant situation that you're going to have a hard time fixing. Dean Pease was around for a long time, happy being a number two guy. He wasn't a bad defensive coordinator, but he's not in the top three of Ravens ever defensive coordinators. And they did need some freshness there. There are people who would say the same thing about Urban as well, that it was a more of a stagnant situation. He didn't get a coaching, you know, head coaching gig either, but a guy who'd been a very good offensive coordinator, the best offensive coordinator the Ravens have ever had. I mean, yeah, however you want to complain about who Urban was. Did I say Brent Urban, by the way?
Saying Urban.
Greg Roman.
You mean Roben? Okay.
Yes. Yeah. So whatever you want to do about complaining about Greg Roman, the offensive coordinator, take a look at the other guys we've had in that position. Don Strock might be the second best, you know, and then you go through all of these guys, you know, Kavanaugh and Fassel for a period of time, and Billick doing it himself, and Caldwell and Cam and all those guys. I mean, it's just other than Kubiak, I guess Kubiak would be number two in my book. There really isn't anybody else.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, you want, I always say you want to have as many good problems as you can.
Yep.
And having a great coaching staff where they're doing where they're coaching up our players and making our players better, making our defense and team better, and then they go on to better positions elsewhere because we have a great head coach here, and you know we're constantly churning out these defensive coordinators, and you know they're all succeeding, like. That's a good problem to have. The bad problem is to have these average guys that aren't really making your team better, and you're finishing kind of mid-tier. That's not the good problem that you want to have. You want to be able to, and you have to be able to trust Harbaugh, who's shown that he can hire these guys and find these guys. And I think he's done a great job, and very different from a lot of head coaches who kind of go in their own circle, like they hire the same guys. Like, you know, like, I mean, if you look at Jim Harbaugh, who, you know, he hired Greg Roman as his offensive coordinator again, and he's hired a lot of his staff from Michigan and San Fran. You know, he's hired them back again, as opposed to Harbaugh has really gone to, you know, he's gone far and wide and not just bringing back, you know, guys that have gone elsewhere and then gotten fired and that bringing those guys back and things like that. He's constantly refreshing the coaching staff and bringing more ideas and new ideas. And I think that's a good way to handle it.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, position coaches are the NFL gold right now. When you can get coordinators, shouldn't ever bother you to lose coordinators. And let's talk about just one component of this. And this is 4% of the value of hiring great coordinators is if you lose coordinators, you might get third round draft picks, depending on who your coordinator is. Okay. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Zach Orr is that guy. Do I think that really played into the hiring decision? I don't. I think that he was probably their guy for a long time as they were going through the season, as he was involved in the plan and whatnot. I think it's a great side benefit that you lose these guys. And I'm sad that they lost Anthony Weaver, not to a head coaching job. I mean, it's not shocking that would happen, but I'm sad about it. I guess we got to look at it as Tully, I guess the guy from a few years ago who went to the Texans. I think that's the guy, right? Tully?
Oh, Greg, David Culley. Culley.
Yeah. He had no business being a head coach. So it was we got fortunate that time.
That was a gift right there. Yeah. Yeah. I was disappointed in Anthony Weaver too. Like, I mean, I think he's got head coach written all over him. And I think if he had stayed here a couple of more years, I think in the next couple of hiring cycles, he would have gotten something. I hate to say it, but I think he may have regressed his career by taking, you know, the defensive coordinator position, because, you know, that defense isn't as talented as this one.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's already been getting those head coaching interviews with us. So, you know, now you're taking a risk of, you know, with Miami, are they going to be as good? Are they going to be as good as last year or not? And, you know, they've got a lot of question marks on their defense. So, yeah.
People have to recognize that if Miami has a middle of the pack season on defense, that's probably his good work that got them there, and you know, the lack of talent. But you make a great point that the Ravens are in a wonderful position, that because the team is so talented and so well run in the front office, they draft so well, this is an easy place to hire coaching talent. It's a really easy place to do it. And yeah, it is great that they do it. It's great that you have ownership that probably is willing to pay a few extra dollars where it's needed to get, you know, some of the real stars in terms of coaching. But, you know, and probably also has some good discipline to say no when it's time to say no on that. But anyway, I think the carpings to get rid of Harbaugh have so little actual substance behind them at this point. You know, I can't take them seriously. We don't need to go to that. Let's go back to Roquan Smith. What is a good season for Roquan Smith this year?
So I had helped make a smooth transition from McDonald to Orr, and any scheme or personnel adjustments, you know, obviously help that make that a smoother transition. And, you know, and I will say, like, my predictions for Roquan are kind of more based on a total defense, because I think he, like a quarterback is to the offense, like a quarterback is an outsized producer of an offense and makes an offense better. I think Roquan's kind of that same player on defense. So, like, I'm looking at the defense as a whole, because, you know, that's kind of where just kind of how I see them. And, you know, I also said, you know, we see a slight drop off in defensive effectiveness due to the loss of talent and coaching and players, which is something, you know, we've already talked about, and continue to be the heart and brain of the defense, and just be that solid, excellent middle linebacker that he's been, you know, his entire 2 years here.
Okay. I really like those comments, and I like putting it in context of the total defense, because certainly what he's asked to do a lot is to be that glue to hold it together. I have plays 15 plus games with a slight drop off from his 22 to 23 rate statistics. And by the way, slight drop off, he's still going to be very close to the Pro Bowl / all pro voting, whether it means AP2 or AP1. But he remains one of the best inside linebackers in the game due to a broad set of positives, awareness, and on-field leadership. Can probably still make the Pro Bowl with a drop off like this, but I'm not making that a condition. If he didn't make the Pro Bowl for some reason, I think he could still be a great player, and I think he could still have a good season. We've just been so incredibly spoiled so far by a year and a half of unbelievably great Roquan that I'm not sure that we can all put in context there that he could have a drop off and it'd still be a good season.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
How about a great year?
Okay. Again, trying to do all the things I mentioned in the good season. Also see no drop off or even an improvement in the overall defense effectiveness this year as opposed to last year. So if we see, you know, this being just again the absolute best defense in the league, Roquan's going to be a huge part of that, you know, both on the field and, you know, with his leadership and, you know, helping being that coach on the field. It's, you know, he's going to be a big reason for that. And I also said make a few more splash plays such as sacks, interceptions, that puts him in the conversation as for a defensive player of the year.
Okay. He was eighth in that voting this last year, so he was in the conversation. Fair to say,
yeah, right? Yeah. I guess I would say top two or three, something like that. Yeah.
All right. I've got a great season. It's kind of lengthy here. I say he's healthy for 16 plus games plus all of the postseason. He continues at a level very similar to 22-23 on a rate basis. He improves his stop to miss tackle ratio slightly to back to north of his career rate of 4.9%. His role morphs as needed to maximize the aggregate inside linebacker play. I'm not making him responsible for the whole defense, but I like the way you're doing it because he's the communication hub of the defense. They need another guy to be captain of the secondary too. And I think that's Marcus Williams, but they need him to be a great communicator as well for the front seven. Okay. Let's see. Role morphs is needed to maximize aggregate inside linebacker play, and Simpson or the dime thrives next to him in a role designed for big plays. So I'm de-emphasizing Roquan's big play opportunities to try and get more for that weak side linebacker / dime. And it could be for other players as well, because that's the way the Ravens have played it in 23. The Ravens pass rush continues to shine with effective contributions from inside linebacker, but not necessarily from Smith. On-field leadership is apparent both before in terms of repositioning and after in terms of effectively demanding accountability the play. So you know as a player what I mean by effectively demanding accountability, but he's got to be able to go over to the guy who messed up his assignment and in the most productive way address that situation.
Yeah.
So sometimes, you know, if you're Marlon Humphrey, you turn your head to the side and you get visibly upset with the player next to you. And Marlon may realize he's doing that or not. I'm sure he's been told by now. If you're LJ Fort, you go over and give Patrick Queen a low five for not being in the right place. And then you have words about where you should have been on that. You know, that's, you got to be behind right. Seven because you're there. You know, whatever his responsibility on the play was, Ford communicates him to. But however he does this, he needs to be a guy who does it well. I think everybody who's been a Ravens fan since they came to Baltimore would say Ray Lewis was the best ever at doing it. I mean, he would take these people in, grab them by the helmet and talk to them for a few seconds. And, I want to see that from Roquan.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm exactly the same. Yeah. I mean, so many of the big mistakes have been eliminated since he's been here that I think he's probably doing this in film study, you know, during the week, throughout the week when they're having defensive meetings. Hey, you need to be in position when the D does this. I need you to slant this way, or you know, whatever the case may be, so that you don't see it that much in the game. But I'm sure even in the game, as somebody, you know, misses an assignment here or there, he's telling them in his own way, hey, you need to do something else right there.
All right. Absolutely fantastic. Always talking football with you, Brandon. Why don't you tell folks where they can talk football with you online?
Sure. I'm on Twitter at Brandon Croxton 5. You know, I love talking football, love talking Ravens.
All right. Other folks out there, if you'd like to be on a film study short, hit me up. The expectation series is all taken, but if you want to do a recollection series, and I'm going to be starting a new one as we approach camp about biggest camp questions. If you have an idea or a thought or a concern about what are the biggest things the Ravens need to fix entering camp, questions they need to resolve, hit me up. DMs are always open on Twitter. I want to hear from you. I'll get back to you very quickly. Brandon, thanks again for coming on.
Thank you.
And we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
This time of year, a good hoodie is absolutely essential. But it's tough to find one that will last through the season. That's why the American Giant Classic Full Zip Hoodie is made to last a lifetime. So you can count on it to bring you comfort and warmth year after year. Slate Magazine called it the greatest hoodie ever made. And from cotton to zipper, it's made right here in the USA. With timeless style, heavyweight fleece, a double-lined hood, and reinforced elbow patches, you can depend on it for years to come. Snag the hoodie that will bring you comfort for life, the American Giant Classic Full Zip, and save 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com when you use code CLASSIC24 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code CLASSIC24.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel. An official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.